Grace and peace to you all this morning from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today I want to share with you the story of a young man named Ben Hooper. A number of years ago, I included a story about Ben Hooper in my message. Within the next year, I noticed something on the internet contradicting part of it. I thought of him again as I went to prepare this message on God's family. And so I went on Snopes.com and read all the accounts they had there. And I've limited myself to those things that the various accounts agree on. There's enough there. First of all, there was such a person. Ben was born as the illegitimate son of an unwed woman named Sarah Wade. He was Ben Wade then. His natural father, a doctor named L. Hooper, was engaged to be married to another woman. So he gave up the child. But as things turned out, his mother could not support Ben anymore after her father died. And so when he was 8 years old, she placed him in an orphanage. And this had quite an effect on Ben. He wrote an autobiography later in life in which he is described as an unwanted child. But his natural father had only one other child, also a son, and he died at an early age. And 16 months after Ben had arrived at the orphanage, Dr. Hooper called on him and adopted him. He then became known by the name of Ben Hooper. And Ben had a rough time of it because some of the details of his background, you know how it is, leaked out. And you know how cruel kids can be sometimes. He had to endure a lot of name-calling, unfortunately. Taunts and bullying from the other children. Because of his background. But somewhere along the way, he found a church home. Somewhere along the way, he found he had a heavenly father. And he came to believe that he was a child of God. He was baptized at 15 years of age. And reportedly, and all the accounts agree on this, remained a staunch Christian throughout his whole life. Ben Hooper went on to become a 2-time governor of the state of Tennessee. Knowing that you have a Heavenly Father certainly can change things. Knowing that you have a Heavenly Father can bring a person a lot of help. It is interesting to note how God the Father views us. I never gave much thought to this until later in my life. Although he is the mighty God who created heaven and earth and us, he desires to have a much more personal relationship with you and me. I think we often miss this. I know I missed it for many years of my life. And if we do miss it, we are likely to miss out on many of the things that our Heavenly Father can do for us. There are a number of passages that indicate that this is true to us. Psalms 103:13 says, "As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him." And God does that by offering us a family relationship with him. Now, how is this done? Well, Galatians 4 tells us. It says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." That's how it's taken place. "And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.'" That's the equivalent of daddy. "So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." And that brings us to our epistle reading for this day, which Chris read for us. It says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry, 'Abba, Father.' The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ." So, let's think of the significance of this now. These are more than just words. We have been adopted into the family of God. And it would be well for us to consider this morning, what does this mean? What are the benefits of being a member of the family of God? Well, there are many, many. You wouldn't want me to preach on all of them. We'd be here quite a long time. Okay. So I've had mercy. I'm going to just share my top four with you today. You may not have the same four, but that doesn't make any difference. You still receive these blessings being a child of God. This is my list. And I guess that number one on my list would be that for those who die in the Christian faith, this is forever. Jesus is quoted in John 6 as saying, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." On earth, families slowly drift apart. And sadly, are eventually separated by death. But the family of God is promised that they will live forever. Would you repeat that for me, please? Forever?
Forever.
Yeah. I want you to try and remember these four benefits. I believe they'll bring comfort to you. I would say that number two on my list is that we have been delivered from the eternal consequences of our sin because of Christ's death on the cross. We are forgiven of all our sins and delivered from our guilt and eternal judgment. Please repeat after me, forgiven. There's a Christian song that goes like this. I wonder if any of you have heard it. I'm so glad I'm part of the family of God, washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. I'm so glad we're a family of God. I hope that verse expresses the way you feel. It certainly expresses the way I feel. And Jesus Himself tied into the family of God theme quite a bit. On one occasion He was in, and He was told in a house, and He was told His brothers and sisters were, and maybe His mother were waiting outside, and He used that occasion to say He had others, brothers and sisters, those who believed in Him. Christ sees us as a family also. And He sees all of us as brothers and sisters too. That's very, very important. I point out to our Life with God members in our last lesson, as they are considering membership, those who are our visitors and guests, that when you join the church, I say you don't have to join the church to be saved. I think it's a good idea, but you don't have to be a member of the church to be saved. But when you do, you pick up another family. And that's especially significant, I think, as one gets older. For benefit number 3, I would have to say that when a person has a saving faith in Christ, they are very likely to receive a special provision of God's blessings. Please say, blessings. And a Christian receives additional blessings when he or she shows his appreciation for God by serving Him. Now, this can, of course, be done in many ways. When I see Len or somebody working with the flowers and the beds out front, they are serving God, and they can be blessed in that. We are blessed here at St. Mark to have many people who serve God in many ways. But in my own case, being a convert to the Christian faith, I have long had a concern for those who do not know Christ. And I try to sow the Word of God in as many ways as possible. Some believe, some don't believe. But that's the work of the Holy Spirit. But through it all, I have to say this, whether they believe or not, I am richly blessed by my main service to God. And finally, I'll conclude my list today with number 4. A great benefit that comes with being a child of God is experiencing the presence of God. This is another thing that I haven't really appreciated till I got much older. And I have experienced this. I always have someone a lot greater than me to whom I can talk. And I take the words of God the Father personally as He is quoted in Isaiah 41. He says, I have chosen you and not cast you off. Fear not, for I am with you. He says that to you also. And many of you will remember what Jesus said about the presence of God with His words. He says, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. But we also need to note today, and I hate to put sections like this in, but I think God wants me to. I think we also need to note today that many Christians fail to receive all the benefits of being a child of God. Why? Some of them live as rebels rather than as children of God. As a matter of fact, if you look at your lives, you'd be very hard-pressed to find anything different from their lives than the rest of the world. Some people are brought up to know Christ, but they don't take God or their sins seriously. And thus, I must mention this morning that Paul has a warning in Romans 8:13. He says, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. He's talking about spiritually here. We're all going to die physically. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And he then says something very important that's easy to jump right over. And it was in our reading from Romans 8. It says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Who are you following? I'll bet most of you are following Jesus, and I'm thankful for that. But it's a question that all of us should ask ourselves. And never forget this. God wants His family to grow. We have a responsibility to seek the lost. It is estimated that depending on what study you read, that 80 to 90% of the world's population is lost. They don't know that Jesus is the way to heaven. And the Lord seeks to mobilize His church to go out in the mission field and find them. For some, it could be a very short trip. And maybe your neighbor next door who needs to be invited to church, or some person who's moved in down the street. We have been equipped with a message that changes people's lives. We have been equipped with a message which can determine where someone spends eternity. What could be more important than that? And so today, brothers and sisters, I ask you this, to ask the Lord to guide you with whom you can share the message. There's over 100 different ways that you can do it. It's a joy to see God's family grow, both to our Lord and to ourselves. Amen.